You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am surprised in the time that we have been doing this with Billy Corbin that we have not done that much, because we've been focused on localized and Miami. We have not done that much on Marco Rubio, and we haven't done that much outside of Miami, the greater leadership breach that we have in Florida on DeSantis. I have not gotten Billy's macro thoughts on some of the things going on with a Florida governor that almost very closely didn't become Florida governor, and we probably would have been better off with the guy caught with an escort and meth in a hotel room by a good deal. This is maximum Florida. It's maximum Miami, and what you end up have happening. And Ron DeSantis, a guy that wasn't very well known, was not very famous, has taken the lane of, I'm going to be the most right possible in the country. I'm going to be the most Trump running mate possible that there is in the country. So let's talk a little bit, Billy, and thank you for joining
us. Oh, no, he's not gunning for Trump's running mate. He's gunning for Trump's job. Let's make it perfectly clear. He is not looking for Trump DeSantis 24. He's looking for DeSantis Pence 24, or perhaps DeSantis JFK Jr. 24 is what he's looking to accomplish. Let's make that perfectly clear. He is looking to dethrone Donald Trump by creating a more palatable version of Donald Trump. When I say palatable, I mean where the people who understand, I should say, are repulsed by Donald Trump, Florida man, find this Florida man more tasteful in comparison. But he is capturing that imagination. I mean, definitely Trump is the guy to beat, but there are a lot of signs that Trump would have to destroy DeSantis in order for Trump to have a clear path in a Republican primary. Because I don't know that DeSantis would primary him, but DeSantis, this is his moment. This is his time. If he doesn't put up a good challenge to Trump, he might never get this chance again. And if he's reelected governor this year, he may very well be able to beat Trump.
And why this week should we be paying attention to the latest list of things that he has done, including, he's coming after the woke.
Well, yeah, that was an early Christmas present from DeSantis to all the racists, not only in the state of Florida. That's the other thing, too, is someone made a very important observation. A lot of what DeSantis does makes no sense for the people of Florida. Does nothing to benefit us. In fact, it's actively harming the people of Florida. But if you look at it as he's doing all these things for the Iowa caucus, then it makes perfect sense. It's all performative in Florida for a Republican base and a Republican primary. But screw Florida. Meanwhile, Florida bought him a new jet private jet for $15 million. It costs us $3 million a year to run it. And he goes all over the state doing not the acts of a governor and a leader of a state, but the acts of a candidate in these campaign type. I mean, look at the Stop Woke Act. Stop Woke. Okay, can we just Stop Woke Act stands for Stop the Wrongs to Our Kids and Employees Act. Clearly, that came from the Florida DOA, the Department of Acronyms. And basically what it does is, even though the Republican Board of Education in the state of Florida has banned critical race theory, which, by the way, was not being taught in any public schools in Florida, but they banned it from being taught in any public schools in Florida. Again, these performative kinds of acts. He now wants to, modeled after the Texas anti-abortion law, wants parents and employees to be able to sue schools or their jobs, their private businesses, in the event that they are forced to comply with some policies with respect to equity. And that was a key word, by the way. It's not just critical race theory, because most Republicans don't know what that is and just heard about it maybe last year. What it is it's about anti-awareness, because that's what woke, let's talk about what woke means. Woke is awareness. Woke is education. Woke is information. Woke is history. That's all it is. And remember the Trump doctrine. He said it, the quiet part out loud. I love the poorly educated. And that's what we're talking about here. Low information voters, gullible people, more susceptible to demagoguery, to propaganda. They're not even racist dog whistles anymore. They're now just foghorns. And they love them. They love the racism. They love the anti-Semitism. They eat it up, because low information voters or poorly educated people tend to be more ignorant. They tend to be more hateful. They tend to be more racist. And so all of the demagoguery and the propaganda and the fear about your problems in America are the result of people of color, brown people, black people, Asian people, immigrants, they love that kind of shit. And so DeSantis, one of his earliest campaign ads was him with his baby, okay, narrated by his wife, reading his baby Trump's Art of the Deal book and building a wall out of toys or Legos or something like Trump. So all racism and demagoguery and fear of immigrants, all the things that actually are part of the history of this country, they want to fundamentally reject. That's the thing. It's not a rejection of CRT, which incidentally is all critical race theory in modern day, the anti-critical race theory movement, all stems out of an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory born out of Berlin in the 1930s. So all of it is not even thinly veiled. It's not veiled anymore. Like I said, it's not a dog whistle. It's a foghorn of anti-Semitism and racism. And to add insult to injury, when DeSantis announced this Stop Woke Act that he wants to put before the legislature next year, he invoked the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in saying, you think about what MLK stood for. He said that he didn't want people judged on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. Quote, you listen to some of these people nowadays, they don't talk about that, end quote. Well, let me tell you who did talk about that. Dr. King's daughter, Bernice King, who tweeted, this is an absolute misappropriation and misuse of my father's words, Governor Ron DeSantis. Daddy wasn't working for a society that shuns truth about history and racism. He wrote and spoke about his own deep disappointment in America. It was his dream that we would eliminate racism. So not eliminate awareness or eliminate real American history, of which racism and slavery, and in fact, the fruits of immigrants and immigration play a big role. But this is an effort by people who will wave the Confederate flag, a flag of treason, a flag of terrorists, a flag of people that wanted to destroy this country and tear it apart because they believed that fellow human beings could be owned as property and used as farming equipment. Okay, so this is the type of ignorance and racism that we're dealing with here. And DeSantis is feeding that red meat to a low information base. I know they don't like to be called low information, then they should probably open a book.
Also during that, he is handling the pandemic in a way that has Florida looking more embarrassing than just about any state in the union on this front. What is the fair critique of his lack of leadership there?
And this is a gimme here. I don't think nobody believes that the Biden administration is knocking this one out of the park in terms of pandemic response. But the way he's blowing it is spectacular. I mean, this is a failure. This continues to be a failure, the pandemic response, on a local, state, and federal level. Are we better off now than we were a year ago? Or possibly not, probably not. This variant, Omicron, seems fortunately less deadly than previous variants, but there will be future variants to come that we have no idea how devastating they could be, not to mention long COVID, for which we just don't have the data yet on. But this week, Ron DeSantis, after disappearing for 2 weeks, during which his spokeswoman, the Baghdad Bob of Florida, Christina Pasha, said first he was on vacation, then said he was at the office but had a limited schedule with only meetings with internal advisors, and then said he was at his wife's cancer treatments. I don't believe it. I don't like these whole, what they call the Blue Anon theories about, you know, like multiple Melanias, you know, like is that, Melania has more body doubles than Saddam Hussein, or like this whole idea that, like, I don't know, DeSantis had COVID or whatever. Like, if he's on vacation, I don't really care. We have more important things to worry about.
What are you prattling on about? What are you accusing him of? Over 2 weeks, he was absent. Whatever his reason, for 2 weeks, there was a need for public leadership, and he was not speaking.
While COVID cases were absolutely exploding off the charts in record numbers, he disappeared. There's no question about that. But this idea about, like, the various conspiracy theories about where he is or what was going on, like, I just wish his people would be more forthcoming. People who are paid by the public to inform the public, I wish they would be more responsible, and I wish they would be more truthful. And I wish this, oh God, we talked about his new Surgeon General, who is a total quack, anti-vaxxer, anti-masker, conspiracy theorist, kook, who had a press conference in 2020 on the steps of the Supreme Court with the demon semen lady, talking about singing the praises of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, all this shit that does not work. Okay, in the meantime, the state of Florida bought nearly 1 million doses of hydroxychloroquine that sat unused because no hospital would use it because it was total junk science. This guy's now the Surgeon General of Florida, stood in front of a podium with a sign that read something like, what is it, early treatment? What is it? What did the sign say?
Go ahead.
Early treatment saves lives. Okay? And then he said, what we need to do is unwind the testing psychology the federal government has gotten us into. I don't know how you can have early treatment for COVID if your idea is let's reduce testing. And the reason they want to reduce testing is no testing, no cases. No cases, no bad publicity about the explosion of cases while the governor disappears for 2 weeks. Okay? And what's particularly insane is this, even the scientists that are criticizing the Biden administration's response to the pandemic, nobody's saying too much testing is the problem. They're all saying the problem is that the Biden administration did not prioritize testing, particularly at home rapid tests, so that people can know if they are infected, don't have to be online for hours at a time, because Governor DeSantis shut down all of the state testing sites while we have nearly a million tests that have expired or about to expire that the state of Florida purchased with taxpayer dollars and stockpiled while none of us could find home tests at the drugstores and while people are lined up at Tropical Park and various other sites that are all operated, by the way, locally and by county governments, not by the state because DeSantis shut down all the testing sites. But meanwhile, they're trying to say that we shouldn't be testing. What the scientists are saying is we should be testing more and we should have more mask mandates, particularly N95s and respirator style masks, not the other nonsense kind of masks. So DeSantis is totally, totally compounding the chaos and the debacle and the tragedy of this response.
I want to get to Alberto Carvalho in a second with you as it regards some of this masking and the mandates. But I don't think for the uninitiated, even though I know what you're talking about, that you can say the demon semen lady as casually as you did and not provide an elaboration. Because, yes, she was talking about demon semen, but just tell the people while standing next to the quack, yes, just the people who do not know, because this was a legendary press conference, was it not? Billy, like even in the history of South Florida, that clacking you hear is Billy occasionally just needing to look things up because he's doing this by Zoom because he doesn't want to get the virus while he's here. But just tell the people about the demon semen lady.
the press conference, the video of the press conference went viral in no small part because at the time President Trump retweeted it. And then it was immediately taken down by Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Everybody banned it for misinformation. When Facebook bans something for misinformation, you know it's gotta be bad. And it was so harmful. The lies and the medical misinformation being told by people in lab coats on the steps of the Supreme Court. I don't know why they were on the steps of the Supreme Court. I mean, it was just like a dramatic, I suppose, backdrop. But Stella Emanuel is a woman who, she is apparently a doctor. She's known as Dr. Demon Semen because she believes that women's problems, gynecological problems, are caused by women in their dreams having sex with witches and demons. And so effectively their uteruses, their pelvises need to be exorcised of those nightmare-fueled demon semen in order to help them with their gynecological issues. She believes that alien DNA is being used in medicines, in common medications that we use, that scientists are putting the alien DNA because the government is controlled by aliens, particularly reptile-like, I guess from, like, if anybody remembers the old V show, but like that there is reptilians and other aliens that are not humans that are running the government. By the way, those gynecological problems are like cysts and endometriosis, again, caused by sex in their dreams with demons and witches. She had one more, the scientists are developing vaccines to end religion. I don't know exactly what that means.
Well, Billy, stop there for a second, because the last 90 seconds of what you've done, like what you've just said, is amazing for a number of different reasons. But Tony and Chris are howling with laughter in the back room. And I don't think it's because of anything you're saying.
His ability to give hot takes and type at the same time
and read it at the same time is incredible.
Okay. No, his mind is a sprawling thing. Yes. And it's got a lot of stuff in it. And when he's not, he also really appreciates accuracy. And so he wants to look things up as they're happening.
But mid-sentence, well, it's just impressive.
The key is to get it right. And all the information is, in fact, in my brain. I just want to make sure that it's, you know, my mouth works faster than my brain does, but actually I can type faster than even my mouth. So this is the machine.
This is how the machine works. It belches out information. Every once in a while, it needs some guardrails. So Alberto Calvallo. Yes.
Well, he's leaving. He is the superintendent of Miami-Dade County Public Schools. He is leaving for higher ground, the Los Angeles County School District. He is tired of the bullshit. He is tired of the school board, which is just a cesspool, these school board members. And he's like, peace out, goodbye, and good luck. And I got to tell you, we're going to need some good luck. I've had my differences with him, as I have with most public officials who I call out for their fuckery. But this guy has, all in all, been a pretty excellent superintendent in one of the largest public school systems in the country, of which I am a product of. I'm a graduate of what was then the Dade County Public Schools. Then we changed the name of the county to Miami-Dade County Public Schools. And I think it's a really big loss. And I think what's going to be really scary, and we should cover this in the near future, immediate future, who they are going to replace him with. Because I think that's going to be very scary. The rumors are right now that they're going to replace him with a charter school executive. Is the current rumor, and I think it's true. I think that'll probably be some news I'll break here, actually on the show in the upcoming weeks, because it's also bad news. The fact that he's leaving does not bode well for the future of a county that had the largest swing to Trump, the largest swing to the right of any county in the entire country in the 2020 election. You're going to see the continued misappropriation of public money into the private sphere, into the pockets of rich private school, religious school, charter school owners who in fact employ lawmakers, literally have them openly on the payroll. You're going to see this move towards a theocracy. and this rise of Christian nationalism that we saw manifest itself through violence on January 6th of last year, you're going to see that in our education. That's part of the anti-awareness, anti-history, anti-education, anti-equity. Can you imagine a movement that is against using words like equity under the guise and the claim that that is some sort of Christianity teaches us to not teach people to love each other, to love your brother or your sister. It's absolutely outrageous, but that's the way that this is going. And Carvalho pointed out this week on Twitter that students in South Florida or in Florida can use publicly funded vouchers in order to attend private schools and religious schools that are now this week imposing mask mandates, but public schools, which he refers to as the bedrock of democracy, they're legislatively forbidden from mask mandates because we had a special legislative session not to deal with the broken $100 million unemployment system, not to deal with COVID testing or any of the crisis during the pandemic. We had two special legislative sessions, one for sports betting and one to stop local school systems and local governments from being able to properly regulate this pandemic and protect their citizens and their children. So now in the Dade County public school system, there's a mask mandate for adults and employees and contractors and visitors to the school, but all they can do is recommend masks for students because the government of the state of Florida banned them from protecting their students. Yet the Archdiocese of Florida just this week said, everybody in Catholic schools, everybody's wearing a mask. That's the way it's gonna be. And to think that the Catholic Church is taking better care of children than the government of Florida is a pretty stunning revelation for the week.
Let's talk about Mati Coin.
I was going to let you say it because I didn't want to say it. How's it, Mike? How'd he do? How'd he do with that pronunciation?
I don't even know if he knows what he kind of read.
M-A-R-I coin. Mati coin. I'm not making it maritime. I'm pronouncing it Hispanically.
Yeah, well, be careful with that, especially. They're going for something.
Mati coin? Where's the stress?
Coin. Mati coin.
Oh, I don't even know what to say. This is the world's first LGBTQ plus cryptocurrency that deliberately co-opted a derogatory Spanish term.
A Hispanic slur against homosexuals.
Yes. Deliberately co-opted that in an effort to, through this cryptocurrency, harness the significant economic force and buying power of the LGBTQ plus community. The second I saw this, and I want to read the quote directly, I'm reading this article about it, and of course buried like halfway through the page, I found what I was looking for. Mati Coin is backed by Miami-based venture capital firm Borderless Capital, because I knew there had to be a Because Miami connection to I don't know if you know this, we're a tech hub now, Dan, and a cryptocurrency capital of, I don't know if you were aware of that. I'm breaking this news right now.
Tech hub, bro.
But I knew there had to be a Miami connection with the name. It's actually out of Madrid, Spain. And unlike the Miami coin shitcoin hustle that Mayor Ponzi Postalita Francis Suarez has been promoting, they're actually starting this cryptocurrency with stores that are LGBTQ plus owned and supported. So the currency will actually be a currency that will be accepted by events and retailers so that people can actually use it. Pretty cool, but the name is uniquely, I thought, Miami.
Well, what is happening there, though? Because that is an unacceptable name. They've chosen to get the publicity of a slur while not using a slur against gays while making a currency that profits for and around the gay community. So, like, that one, how does that idea come together? Because in the marketing meeting, they get together and are like, look, I think we can play on this line a little bit, and I believe we can get a lot of attention and publicity from playing with this slur.
I don't know. I get the sense that, first of all, they seem to be the founders of it, the developers of it seem to be themselves members of this community. And I get the sense that it was the idea of kind of hip-hop music co-opting the N-word, kind of taking back control of a derogatory term and making it, I don't say a term of affection, but just kind of taking control of what was use as a verbal weapon. That's the sense that I glean from the comments from the founders and the press release.
You mentioned Francis Suarez. He was named the president of all the mayors or something. There was a lofty ceremony somewhere, right?
He's the president of the mayors. He's the president of the mayors.
Yes, he graduated to like being the most mayor of the mayors. What is that? What is the distinction that he just got recently that was trumpeted?
He is the El Presidente supermarket of the mayors is what he is. Yeah, no, he's the head of what the U.S. mayors. It's like a lobbying group that elected him. I don't know what that election is like, but elected him to be their leader. And so it's like a lobbying organization. It should give him some clout, possibly in D.C., which is really what he's looking for. But hey, listen, this is the long con from Francis Suarez. Like, you can't, you know, all we can do is tell the truth about him. But people are buying the con. It's a good con. Con is short for confidence. And he for some reason, this Belen bro, I'm sorry, he was kicked out of Belen, but he gains the confidence of people, and they see him as some kind of a leader. I think most people down here, most locals, know better. But it's a grand illusion. The job of a lot of mayors, including the mayor of the city of Miami by charter, is basically that. It is an illusion. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors. It's a lot of realty. It's a lot of tourism and self-promotion. In that regard, he's doing a very good job, not necessarily of promoting the city, but certainly promoting himself.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. I probably have thought about the UFC one, to be honest. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you gotta listen to Six Trophies, where Jason and Shea serve up the biggest moments from all around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out 6 pop culture themed trophies for 6 basketball related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington and Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some, But You Just Lost One trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head scratching moments from all around the NBA. This playoff season, you want to make 6 Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow 6 Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
I really am appreciative to Billy that he spends this time with us here locally, informing the community. He's a historian, he's activist, and what he is doing is important. And we play around with some of the things here, and we're having a little fun here. We're just having fun.
We like to have fun.
We like to have fun. I want to get to this list of the worst people in Miami, but I want to keep the audience here eating some vegetables before we get to the list of the worst people in Miami. How long is the list of the worst people in Miami? Because I've got some topics I need to cover with you that range from AOC in Florida to butt plugs, but I want to get to the list of Miami terrible people. How long's the list?
It's the Dirty Dozen. Miami New Times does it every year. I think what's most interesting about it is where the overlap is with our list from last year. There's actually a lot of overlap when we did our
top 10. You did top 10. You did your top 10. We'll get to the top 12 of the New Times in a second. But tell me about what happened with AOC in Florida.
I don't understand this obsession with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, particularly by Republicans. I mean, she's only one of 435 members of the House. There's like 27 representatives out of the state of New York alone. So she's just one of those 27. I'm not really sure. She's an attractive woman.
She's a Hispanic brown woman with power who's turned up the volume on things that are far left.
But she also embodies what the Republicans used to claim their brand was, which is the American dream. Here's a woman from relatively modest, humble beginnings who worked as a bartender or in the service industry and is now a congresswoman. I mean, what an extraordinary arc and story and achievement, and very much embodies the spirit of the United States. Like, I don't really understand. You can disagree with her politics, but why the obsession with people vacation in Miami? Is that a shocking development that people vacation down here? It's not a shocking development that people sit outside without wearing their masks. Since restaurants reopened in 2020, that's been the policy. When you're eating or drinking, you remove your mask when you're outside. To her credit, she wasn't sitting inside. I don't really understand. I don't get it. I just don't understand why this is an issue.
What are you baffled by? This is a famous brown woman with power who uses it like a blunt instrument and a bullhorn. Why is it surprising that a party running on a platform right now of anti-other would see that as a threat? Which part is confusing to you?
And to your point, a party running on a platform of anti-information, of anti-awareness, of anti-education, of lying about history or at least hiding it. And this is a woman who's very well-educated, who uses her platform to inform others, to make others more aware, which has now become the pejorative term woke for some reason. The option of woke, of course, is asleep, which is where Republicans would prefer voters to be, particularly voters of color. They prefer them to be asleep and not voting. She's one of 435 members of the House of Representatives. The disproportionate amount of attention on where she chooses to vacation with her boyfriend in one of the most popular vacation destinations in the world.
Oh my God, get New York out of here already. All of New York is down here. Billy, this is...
It's the sixth borough, baby. It's a tech hub.
Billy, we do not have the infrastructure under normal circumstances for anything. We certainly don't have... This was an insanity, Billy. What New York descended... every year, the worst week of the year is this holiday week when New York descends under normal circumstances on top of a Miami that cannot handle the weight of it. This is the worst I've ever seen. By leaps and bounds, Billy, the worst I've ever seen of the amount of New York down here just making our infrastructure groan under the weight of it.
Art Basel, so I used to, when I was younger, during Art Basel week and weekend, I would go to New York because every douchebag in New York was down with every douchebag in Miami and Miami Beach. So New York was kind of chill and cool and empty. And I would hang out with my friends up there in higher ground. And because Miami Beach was just unbearable and our office is in Miami Beach, we shutter the windows and we shutter our office Art Basel week the way most businesses do during Memorial Day weekend. That's how we treat,
Billy, this
that's
is, how we th- treat Billy, Art Basel. This is the worst I have ever seen down here for the holidays, and it's because the world is totally upside down. And I don't think, and I want to get to some other things with you here, I don't think the people listening to this understand, you've articulated some of it over these recent weeks, how poor and small our infrastructure is. And we keep growing, Billy, without improving the infrastructure. Now New York and San Francisco are spending here, so they're making the real estate go crazy, and our real estate stinks.
This is the free state of Florida, and if you don't like it, Dan Levitard, you get the hell out of here, all right? The free state of Florida. We are open for business, baby. We are open for business. That's the other thing, too. It's like she went to see a drag show on Ocean Drive. She went to a sushi restaurant on Lincoln Road. Like, isn't that exactly what we want people here to do? Well, not us, but maybe everybody else in this town. No, we are sinking. Make no mistake about it. We are sinking. We don't have enough fresh water. We don't have electricity beyond what FPNL allows us to have. We don't harness the power of the sun for our electricity. We are breaching our aquifer with new construction on the bay. We are running out of everything. We are in a peninsula. We not only have finite amount of space, we are already breaching the Everglades. The county commission keeps saying we're going to stretch the urban development boundary right into one of the most extraordinary, rare, endangered natural resources on the entire earth. And the growth is unsustainable. And that, unfortunately, growth is our only indigenous industry. The sunshine is all we have to sell. We don't have companies down here where we all go to work for 30, 40 years, get a pension, a gold watch, and a retirement party. That doesn't happen in Miami. We have hustles, not industry. We have realty, not reality. You know, so that's why Francis Suarez is so popular. He's the biggest realtor in town, but it's unsustainable. The luxury development at the expense of affordable housing, the fact that 54% of Miami-Dade County residents cannot afford to live in Miami-Dade County, and all of those people are employed. They have at least one, if not two, if not three jobs. I mean, it's a frightening prospect, and buildings are collapsing in the middle of the night while people sleep. None of this is good. None of this is sustainable. But now what? You can't stop people from, you can't stop people from coming here. Make no mistake. Everybody who's naysaying New York and naysaying San Francisco and saying, oh, well, they have third world income inequality. They have crime. They have corrupt government. Every issue that they claim that they have there, we have it here, plus myriad existential crises on top of that. The only thing that they're right about is we don't have a state income tax. So if you're looking for a tax shelter, you're looking to have a homestead exemption that doesn't allow people to take your house in bankruptcy. That's why OJ moved here. That's why Enron executives moved here. It's great if you're a rich person buying a third or fourth or fifth home and you want a tax shelter and a fun place to party. But all of that is just turning us into quote unquote San Francisco faster. And with all of those problems, plus our existential crises, plus our lack of infrastructure, plus the pollution, plus the corruption, and the reality is that it's benefiting no locals. It's making the real estate market go completely out of control, and there's no jobs. I don't care how many companies open an office here, okay, or quote unquote relocate their headquarters here, which nobody's actually doing. There's no jobs for locals. Okay, good help's hard to find in most sectors in Miami. It's because the most talented people, for the most part, leave town. But the reality is there's no, particularly for tech, there's no schools feeding into that industry, feeding that job market. So everybody will, they might open an office here, but everybody will be either working from home or worse, relocating to Miami, which just puts us back in this cycle that you were talking about, which benefits nobody who is a local, who is a true Miamian.
We have fewer than 10 minutes here, but what you're saying makes me profoundly sad, Billy, because, and it fills me with dread, this place that we both love is getting swamped. Literally, it's been a swamp, and we are going to go under this in water with a hurricane. Like, I am very fearful that this thing that I love, this area that I love, is going to get swamped by everything that the pandemic has brought this way.
Yes. Pre-pandemic, it was an emergency. I mean, now I think it's irreversible at this point. The pandemic has exacerbated every single negative trend that was already occurring in the economy, in the real estate market, in the job sector, in terms of poverty, in terms of affordable housing. We were already in crisis mode pre-pandemic. Now, I don't see salvaging Miami. Miami will be completely unrecognizable, not in 50 years, but more likely 5 to 10 years, and possibly unlivable.
In 5 to 10 years, possibly unlivable is what you're predicting. And people are going to call you an alarmist. You're awfully informed on this stuff, Billy. And I have this fear in my soul, like this place that I love is going to be underwater metaphorically, symbolically, actually in a decade.
Look at the quality of life. Look at Brickell. Brickell is considered one of the greatest missed opportunities and tragedies in the modern history of urban development. We had a blank slate 20 years ago, and instead of a master plan, instead of a vision on this blank, beautiful blank canvas, we allowed every developer with a duffel bag of money that he turned over to mayors and commissioners to do whatever the hell he or she wanted. And look at Brickell. There's no quality of life. There's no schools. There's no parks. There's no place to bike ride. There's no place to walk. We have cars driving on sidewalks, hitting people with cars. It's just an absolute, utter, unlivable free-for-all. You think that's going to get better in the next 5 or 10 years? No, it's going to get worse. It's going to go from terrible to worse, which to me, terrible to worse is what? It's unlivable.
Few more minutes left. Before we get to the list of the worst people in Miami, this is a question that I ask every single night. What's up with the butt plugs?
Hell yeah.
ask your wife. I don't know. You're asking yourself that every night. There's this dude. There's this hilarious kind of character who he was responsible for installing the Festivus poles next to nativity scenes on government-owned properties in the state of Florida, basically saying if we have religious freedom to practice any crazy old mythology we want, I'm going to celebrate the 90s religion invented by Seinfeld, the sitcom. And this guy said, here's his quote, "Florida politicians' heads are so far up their goddamn asses, I figured when they take their heads out, they'll need something else to put up there." And so he created these gift boxes, and this was a bipartisan effort. He sent them to Republicans and Democrats alike. He sent them to Ron DeSantis. He sent it to Fort Lauderdale Mayor Dean Trantalis, Hollywood Mayor Josh Levy, the police chief of Hollywood, Chris O'Brien. He sent them a mortar size, so bigger than even this, a mortar size.
Even this for something that is audio.
And back.
This is audio. This is Billy just dropped a piggy bank filled with University of Miami helmet coins on his office. And this is largely audio.
It was filled with imaginary coins from John Ruiz.
Oh, really?
That's a low blow.
The U is back. Blow. The U is back, baby. Okay.
He's trying his best, man.
Finish what you were saying, please.
He's not trying his best, Mike. So a mortar-sized red butt plug on a leash, so it can be
as
a
it
better
must
handle.
Be.
I don't know.
As it must be. Wait, what?
I don't know.
You got to put that on a leash. Why? Everyone knows that. What?
How does that work? I don't know. But I filled with a bunch of fun. Also, Crisco oil he included in there. He included some Sesame Street-themed furries and masks and stuffed animals. I think that was an ode to Ted Cruz attempting to cancel Sesame Street for being too woke. It had summer sausage. It had some anal ease. This is not a product I'm familiar with, but it's called anal ease. Anal esse. It's spelled A-N-A-L-E-S-E.
It's sold as one thing, as a lubricant in both American ventures and in barrios. That's right. Anal esse is what it is.
What, is that how you pronounce that?
The Miami New Times is copycatting what Billy Corbin did with us the last time he was around here. He had his list of 10 worst people in Miami, and now the Miami New Times has its list of 12 people. We're going to take 10 of them, and we're going to give them to you right now. There are some duplicates. Billy, who is the 10th worst person in Miami, according to the Miami New Times?
To be fair, they do a Dirty Dozen every year, so I may have been aping them, but they included, as did we, Frank Artiles. He was the Republican fraudster arrested for the election scheme involving a shill candidate here down in Miami, proving, of course, that there was election fraud last year entirely committed by Republicans.
A strong number 10. Number 9.
Surfside Mayor Charles Burkett. Not only was he on the job during the horrific tragedy at the Champlain Tower South, but he also, as it turns out, is a slumlord himself, an owner of deteriorating buildings that have been violating code in Miami Beach for years, unsafe structures, elevators that don't work, and he finally forced all of his residents out with very little notice in order to finally do the work that has needed to be done because he got called out on it. And to boot, This is a guy who wanted to investigate the claim, he said it in a tweet, that the death of John McAfee of suicide in a Spanish prison was somehow connected to the collapse because McAfee had hard drives in an old apartment that he owned there or restored there. Just absolutely crazy shit. So he made the list.
Number 8.
Joe Carollo.
Enough said. Number 7.
David and Lila Centner.
What's the story there?
They're the anti-vax owners of the Centner Academy, a for-profit private school, costs about $30,000 a year to send your kids there from preschool through elementary school. It was opened after they paid off Commissioner Keon Hardiman and Mayor Francis Suarez. They actually hired Francis Suarez's law firm to help them. They were able to open without the proper documentation, and her social media account is filled not just with anti-vax information, but science fiction about how the vaccine can actually, if you're vaccinated next to an unvaccinated person, you can change a woman's menstrual cycle and affect her unborn baby. Absolutely insane shit. And they are educating the children of Miami.
Number 6.
Laura Loomer.
This is a hell of a list, man.
Quote unquote, proud Islamophobe, Laura Loomer. Again, another anti-vaccine extremist. She calls herself the most banned woman on the internet. She says that COVID-19 symptoms are akin to eating bad fajitas. That's how she described them. And she's a big poster on Trump's pro-Trump social network Getter. And she likes to run for office. So I've no doubt that we will see it, if not a representative Laura Loomer, right, from the great state of Florida, at least a state senator or state representative. Excellent. Laura Loomer sometime soon.
Excellent. We haven't even gotten to the top 5 yet. Number 5.
Prentice Madden. He is a veterinarian and the former hospital director at the Caring Hands Animal Clinic in Aventura. And he was arrested for sending videos of himself sexually abusing animals at the clinic called Caring Hands, and also possession of child pornography and, quote, animal crush videos, end quote. I don't know what that is.
Dear God, that took an awful turn. Number 4.
Luby Navarro. We talked about Luby Navarro last year. She was the only Miami-Dade County School Board member who voted against a mask mandate. She also has a fake doctor title that she puts in front of her name. It was a ceremonial or symbolic degree that she got by an unaccredited Catholic university, quote unquote, located in a downtown Miami office building. And of course, she works as the government liaison and lobbyist for a hospital in Broward, because Miami.
Number 3.
Number 3, Javier Ortiz. The Miami police captain that we've covered extensively on the podcast. He is currently... has he been suspended? Has he been fired? I never know. He's constantly on paid vacations for abusing the people of Miami-Dade, or the city of Miami.
Worst cop in Miami. Number 2.
Francis Suarez.
Number 1.
Enrique Tarrio.
Give it to
us. Can you imagine? It literally took a Nazi to rank over Francis Suarez as the worst person in Miami in 2021. That's what it took to push over the top over Mayor Ponzi Postolita, the con man and imaginary coin salesman.
Good talking to you, Billy. Talk to you again next week.
Go Canes.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.